from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Kelly Wilkinson. Today, Secretary of Veterans Affairs Eric Shinseki met with veterans at the Livermore VA Hospital. His visit comes days after publication of an article showing a tragic trend among veterans. This one deals with the number of young vets, those under the age of 35, who die from unnatural causes, including suicide, vehicle crashes, and drug overdoses. The story in the Bay Citizen says that from 2005 through 2008, more than 1,000 California veterans in that age group died, more than three times the number of California service personnel killed in Iraq or Afghanistan during the same period. Aaron Glantz reported the story. Mr. Glantz, tell us what's happening with these vets when they come home.
Well, you know, the finding is extremely damning and extremely depressing that we have twice as many veterans as non-veterans dying in motor vehicle accidents. We have 2.5 times as many veterans as non-veterans committing suicide, 5 times as many veterans as non-veterans dying in motorcycle accidents, and veterans are also 1.5 times more likely than non-veterans to die of unintentional poisoning, like a drug overdose. These are figures that we uncovered at the Bay Citizen, but they are figures which the Department of Veterans Affairs refuses to count themselves.
Was the VA cooperative with you as you were reporting this?
The VA was quite cooperative with me once they understood what I had already uncovered from the California Department of Public Health. They were very slow to come forward with their own numbers, but then once I revealed to them what I was able to find by going through coroner's reports, they became much more cooperative.
A VA spokesperson in your article was quoted as saying these figures are devastating. It has been a problem for the VA getting vets to go to the VA for treatment. Is that something you fault the VA for?
It is true that only about half of the veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan have gone to the VA for any kind of service. The VA has problems with outreach. It has problems with bureaucracy. You know, one of the people that I spotlight in my story, Ruben Santos of Daly City, who committed suicide about a year ago today, 6 years after he returned home from a tour in Iraq. For 3 years, he didn't want to admit that he had a problem with post-traumatic stress disorder. And then when he finally came to terms with the fact that he was having nightmares, that he was having difficulty driving, and that he was having flashbacks, when he finally woke up to this and thought about going to the VA, he erroneously believed that he was no longer eligible for VA services. And then when he finally, 2 years after that, decided to come forward and go to the VA, he was getting run from one therapist to another. He had difficulty getting regular appointments. And the only way he was able to get any kind of consistent treatment was by enrolling in a study. But, you know, the story shouldn't go like that. You know, it should be seamless, out of the military, into the VA. There's no reason why we can't enroll people in the Veterans Affairs health system the day that they leave the military.
What's being done, as you say, to get veterans into the VA seamlessly? What's being done to try and bridge that gap?
I have to give President Obama some credit. He's put a lot more money into the VA than President Bush did, billions of dollars more. There are a lot more therapists there. There are a lot more doctors there. But there's still the barrier of the bureaucracy to get into the system. And that barrier of the bureaucracy is something that a lot of these young men, mostly young men, who have just come back from the war, they just don't want to deal with it. And so that's why you have people turning away and not using the VA, even though it's there for them, it's free, and there's a lot of the best doctors and psychiatrists that you'll ever find at treating post-combat injuries.
As you report, a lot of veterans do seem to seek out dangerous situations that lead to these deaths. And psychiatrists say this may be to recreate some of the intensity of combat and active duty. I wonder, is there much science on this to show that this kind of behavior is predictable?
I mean, this is something that has been well established, you know, since the Vietnam War, that it's difficult to slow down when you come home from war. I mean, just think about it this way. You know, I was in the war in Iraq. I was in the Battle of Fallujah as a journalist. I saw people dead in the middle of the street. I saw gunfire on all sides of me. And I was a journalist, so I wasn't any of the people who was firing this gun. I was just watching and reporting on it. You come back from that experience, and the people around you are debating whether they should buy the iPhone or the BlackBerry, and the street is calm, but it's eerily calm to you, because when a street is eerily calm in Iraq, it means that another shoe might drop. And so you can be very much on edge. And you, some people also, as you mentioned, they try to keep that high, that thrill that you get by being in that combat situation, you know, going. It can be hard to slow down.
Thanks so much for talking with us.
All right, take care.
Aaron Glantz is a reporter at The Bay Citizen and author. He spent 7 years covering the war in Iraq and the treatment veterans receive when they come home. I'm Kelly Wilkinson. More news online at kqednews.org.